The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for Exposing the Masters Within. Let's get started. All right, well, I'm back. We're back, so hopefully you're still there. Thanks for listening. A little technical glitch there with the power dropping out. So, I'm not sure what you all heard. I had my eyes closed, so I wasn't aware when the computer told me that we were off the air. But we're back. So, I'm going to continue from where I was. And connecting in with and expanding that energy of this community. So, we'll take it up to another level, opening up to receive that energy that is the shared intention for empowerment, the shared intention for moving into mastery. And so we just allow that to flow through us, filling us on every level, physically, emotionally, mentally, out throughout the energy field. And as it affects us, as we feel that greater support, as we feel that greater impetus, it, of course, will affect all of our relationships, all of our connections. So, let's go. One more level. One more expansion. And this is out to all of humanity. And again, all of humanity is desiring things to get better. And so we start at that level, the basic level of the desire for life to be better than it is, to be more empowered, to be more abundant, to be more loving, whatever way, whatever category, whatever aspect of life that people are looking for improvement in. It's a universal desire. So we're connecting in with that mass consciousness, that power toward improvement, and allow that to fill you. Allow yourself to ride on that wave of energy. And then we go to those who are the more consciously aware, the light workers, those who are consciously choosing a path of empowerment. For that path, with conscious choice, is more powerful. There's greater energy in it. And so all the light workers on the planet are aiding us. They're feeding us this energy that we can ride as well. That support toward empowerment. And let yourself feel that flowing through you. Allow yourself to feel that being something, an energy that you can ride. And it's easy. It's like being on a sled going downhill in the snow. No effort involved. We get to steer. We get to choose the path to a degree, but the momentum is there just waiting for us to say yes and let go of what we've been holding on to that's keeping us in place. All right. So breathe that in and know that those connections and all the connections before our little blip in the program today, all the connections are still in place. All those energies are going to flow as we go through the program today. So just allow yourself to be open and breathing easy. Nothing to do. Nothing to do right now. Just be. And in your being, you're co-creating. And that's true all the time. All the time. We are radiating. Even when we're sleeping, we are radiating. We are putting forth energy that is creating our life. Putting forth energy that is creating our experiences. And yes, that which we do consciously, that which we focus upon has more, perhaps the best word for it is power, but in any case, it's going on all the time in every moment. And so allow yourself to simply tap into that. Tap into that. That energy of creation and flow. So now, what I'd like to do is, well, talk about an experience that struck me this morning. I like to go sit on the front porch. In spite of the fact that when I went out first this morning to sit on the front porch, it was right at 32 degrees, right at freezing. But it's something that I really find peaceful. And when it's this cold, I tend to go out there with my thinking cap on. That's how I like to think of it. A friend of mine brought this knit hat back from Peru made by some of the speakers of Quechua, some of the natives who are the descendants of the Incas who have held the shamanic path. And I like to think of that as my thinking cap. But this morning, I was perhaps feeling a little extra cold. So not only did I have that on, even with its ear flaps, I put on the ear muffs on top of it. And that kind of really locks it in place on my head. And I had it on a little bit more than usual. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean, it was pulled down a little bit further. So you might think of some time when you were wearing something with a hood and you cinched the hood up, whether it was against the wind or the rain or just because you wanted to do that. And what I was struck by was the line marking the edge of where that hat was surrounding my face. And what it made me aware of was how typically unaware I am of my peripheral vision. It made me aware of something I'm not normally aware of that's there when that experience was taken away. I mean, my peripheral vision was still there, but what I was seeing was blocked by that outer edge of this hat. And that got me thinking, as lots of weird things do when I experience them. This thought path that I went down, well, some other phrases came to mind. One was tunnel vision. Another image that came to mind was that of having blinders on, like a horse. And so it was not exactly perplexing, but it was very focusing for me to have my peripheral vision limited. And that's what tunnel vision is, as I think of that phrase. It's we get focused on something to the exclusion of everything else. So tunnel vision in some ways is is about what we're doing, and we get task-oriented to a degree that all other tasks go out of our head, and oftentimes even our sense of our surroundings, and very often our sense of time passing. We get in that space of tunnel vision, and our focus narrows. And the same thing with blinders. I mean, when I think of blinders, literally they're on horses to keep horses from being spooked by things going on around them, etc. So they are more focused in where they're going than in what's going on around them. And what it brought up metaphorically was how, in essence, as we come into body, we choose to put on these blinders, these hoods, these, well, tunnels that we're going to focus down to the exclusion of other things. And what it brought to mind was how odd it is, or how difficult it is, perhaps even, walking this path. Because we're seeking to expand our awareness without knowing what it is we're expanding into. In other words, until we have an experience, until we pull that hood back a little bit and our awareness expands to a larger degree, we can focus beyond that tunnel. We don't know what's out there. We might have some mental concepts of it, but if we haven't experienced it, we haven't experienced it. And, well, not that this is some great, great truth, but I believe this is a large part of why we have that fear of the unknown, because we haven't experienced it. Duh. But that right there, in some ways, is a really big key component of what we're dealing with on the path. It's, at its core, walking this path toward empowerment, we're, in some ways, taking it on blind faith that we can get there. And I'm not talking about the blind faith in some religious dogma. Although I believe each of us has our own dogma about what we believe to be true based on the experiences we've had, based on what we've read that we haven't yet experienced, and or what we've heard that we haven't yet personally experienced. And so we have a direction we're going. We have a tunnel that we're focusing down. I'm heading in that direction. But we don't know what the experience is going to be until we get there. And I know for me, oftentimes that experience is shocking. When it does come, not necessarily in a bad way, it's shocking in that it feels so different from how I was just a moment ago. And it's that shock, that jarring aspect of the difference. Even when it is so much better than it was a moment ago, it's still this shock to the system, because all of our expectations, everything that we can see, has now been shifted. We pulled the hood back and we can see out to the side further, that we have a broader perspective. But what that requires is a shift in everything else. It's not just about the edges that are now different. By adding more to that vision, everything else has to realign itself. And so it becomes a change that is much bigger than the small thing that may have shifted in that particular moment. And I think we fear that. Not so much just because of a particular shift. Not so much just because we've had one shift and it was jarring, or another shift and it was jarring. Although, if you've had a life anything like mine, sometimes those jarring ones, woo, they really rock your world and make it, well, at times difficult to want to get out of bed in the morning. Everything is so different. I have to change everything about my life to deal with this shift, whether it's death, divorce, even marriage, or falling in love, these things that just radically change us, change our circumstances. We literally have to change how we interact in every aspect of our lives. And I think that's more than the little picture of the specific circumstance. It's that bigger picture that it's everything that changes. It's not just that circumstance. I get a divorce or a relationship ends or someone dies. It's not just about that. And that's one of those experiences lots of people who have gone through the mourning process deal with. It's that it's not just that that person's not there anymore. It's that their entire life tapestry has been woven for some amount of time with that person in it. And now that person's not there. So it's like this expansion of peripheral vision. We don't necessarily notice just how much another person or an aspect of our life, a habit that we have perhaps, is there until we lose it. Again, the cliche, we don't know what we've got until we lose it. And it's the fear of loss through that change that I believe is the biggest aspect of that. Because there is this fear, and I believe it is universal, of change to a degree. And I think it's built on, and granted, some people are a lot better at change than others. Some people relish it much of the time. But underneath, I think there still is an aspect of, oh God, this could go wrong. I make this change and it could be worse than it was before I made the change. And it's like that experience when the person has died and we walk into a room and we expect them to be sitting in their favorite chair. Or we smell a scent and it reminds us of them because it was their cologne or it was something that they ate all the time. And what we connect with is that piece that's missing. And so even when things in the large picture are better, there's always something that changes that we let go of. And even if that thing wasn't necessarily good, it wasn't something that made us happy, there is safety in habit. There's safety in knowing what to expect. And that, for me, is why change can be so difficult. Yes, I know the pieces about the circuitry in the brain and the grooves that get created when we do something. Well, what is that? That's a habit pattern. That's an expectation pattern that comes with the habit. But from an emotional place, not this physical place, from an emotional place, we fear to lose the known. And I think for me, that's part of the reason I spend as much time as I do with my nose in books. And I don't necessarily focus on spiritual writing. I would say that's probably maybe 10 to 20% of what I read, depending on the time frame I'm in. Started the book this morning that's on finding silence about how we deal with sound in the world. And this also, although I'm not very far into it, it also touches in upon this idea of what we are used to and how that penetrates our consciousness. And you take something away and we get nervous. We get nervous. If you've ever had something like your air conditioning or your refrigerator break, or if you've even ever had a power outage, and suddenly sound that was background noise disappears into silence, and it's unnerving. It's unnerving because even what we don't register consciously, we are still registering energetically. And again, same kind of thing with a death. We're used to that person's energy being connected to ours in a certain way. Even if it's not someone that lives in the house with us, even if it's not someone we connect with regularly, as I said at the beginning, those connections are always there. They will always be there, but they will change in intensity and in our awareness of them, depending upon whether we're in body, whether the other soul is in body, how closely we're connecting to each other. But this is, to me, why people can, out of the blue, simply have that knowing that someone that was beloved to them is dead. One of the most skeptical people I've ever met, and I will not, I won't name names, not that he would be listening to this show. Well, actually, he might be. He's not in body anymore. Anyway, I knew him a long time ago. One of the most skeptical, I mean, I would say pure atheist, until this particular event, and maybe even after this event. He couldn't quite explain it. And it was an event wherein a sibling that he was not close to, and definitely not geographically close to, he woke up 2-3 in the morning with this certainty that that sibling was dead. And was contacted the next day and found out that essentially at that moment of his certainty of being awakened in the night, the sibling had been killed. And that awareness brought with it some images as well, which were also borne out in that specific way of death. And it was murder, so it was an extreme jolt for the person dying, obviously. But it translated energetically to the sibling. And I've never forgotten that. And that actually happened. I heard the story before I was ever consciously walking this path, but it has stuck with me. Because it was the one chink in the armor of this extreme agnostic and probable atheist that he couldn't explain. But that's what we fear. We fear that jolt of loss when change happens. And we don't necessarily fear that it's going to be that big. We don't, but maybe we do. Maybe we do. Maybe we fear that even making small changes can result in big losses of what has been the ambient energy in our lives. Who are the people in your life? This may sound a bit odd, but who are the people in your life that are like the refrigerator? They're always there. if you pay attention, you can hear the compressor cycling on and off, or they're like the furnace, or they're like the air conditioning. Once we're used to that sound in that particular season, it quickly recedes to background noise. Who are the people like that in your life? Who are the people that you just know they're there for you, but it becomes something that we take for granted? And that's a piece of what I'm really trying to touch upon here today. That awareness of that hood effect and it limiting how I was connecting with the world visually. I would liken that to our expectations, and they frame us. They frame our perception of reality. And so it takes a great deal of courage to walk this path, and I know you have it. I know you have it. If you're committed enough to connect in this way, you have this courage to change your life. So I would ask you to take a moment and breathe that in. You may not think of yourself as a courageous person, but it takes courage to change. It takes courage to walk this path. And so I would encourage you to let yourself feel that, to remember that. And I would ask you or suggest for you that you make a choice. And as with every choice, it's not just a one-time thing. If you want to change something, the choice needs to be made more than once. It needs to be made repetitively to create those new grooves so it can become a habit, perhaps. But the choice I would suggest is this, that you take a moment and just notice in your life, what's the background? And specifically, the people. Who are the people that are there that you don't necessarily notice because they're steady? They're always there. You don't necessarily connect with the gratitude. You don't necessarily connect directly. And take a moment to send some love their way. And maybe take a moment to give them a call. And maybe take a moment to say thank you to them. But at least remove, pull back that hood, pull back that hat, pull back those blinders a little bit to let yourself remember that they're there on the periphery of your life, that they're present, that they're with you. And I think that actually is a really good metaphor as well for what we do at the beginning of each one of these programs. Mother Earth is always there, but a lot of the time we get busy, we don't pay attention. Our own divinity is always there. We get caught up in dealing with life. We're not connecting with it as much as possible. The divine beings, they are there. We don't necessarily allow ourselves to experience that awareness. So that's kind of what we're doing at the beginning of every show, is pulling back those blinders, allowing ourselves to be more aware of what's there already, to receive it, to connect with it more fully, and to choose to interact with it in a more conscious way, to move ourselves forward, in this particular example, into greater empowerment, into this shared walking of the path of mastery. But the more frequently we do that, the more aware we can become of where we are. And the more we can connect with gratitude in relation to it. Gratitude's an interesting thing. And at some point, not that long ago, I spoke about it. It may have been in relation to something else. But a piece that I didn't get to, that actually came in after the program was completed, was about this. that gratitude is actually completion. When we can step into full gratitude, what we're doing is we are fully accepting the experience. We're not resisting it in any way. We're allowing it to be ours when we're in complete gratitude to something. But ironically, perhaps, or at least interestingly, to me, our stepping into that gratitude and fully accepting something is actually what creates that thing transforming. And I don't mean thing in a physical sense. I mean circumstance. What do I mean by that? As soon as we accept something fully, which connecting with gratitude does, by definition, the energy has to flow. Gratitude creates change. Now, I'm talking about real gratitude, not I have to say I'm sorry. And yeah, now I'm remembering it was a few weeks ago, and we talked just about the idea of connecting with that gratitude more fully. But gratitude in and of itself stimulates change because it marks the point of completion in a way. Now, that doesn't mean the thing has to move out of your life. It may just become a more important part of it. It may become part of the periphery. It may become like the refrigerator or those people that we take for granted. We don't think about all the time. They're just there. And that's fine. But once we step into that acceptance, we're not in the process of bringing whatever that situation, whatever that circumstance is, more fully into our life. In other words, it's an aspect of integration of that experience, whatever we're connecting to in gratitude. It brings us more into ourselves. It brings that thing more into us. And it does make it part of the tapestry of our life. And so, that's my suggestion, to take a look around at those relationships and connect with them. Connect with the gratitude a little more deeply. You've got some gratitude or they wouldn't be in your life anymore. Take them in deeper. Bring the conscious awareness to them and take them in deeper. And become more aware of them, more present with them, at least for the short time you're connecting with the gratitude. And that's like moving back those blinders, moving back that hood so we can see more of what's already here, expanding our peripheral vision. And what that does, the more we do that, the more conscious we are of what's here, the more we're opening the door for change in a way that's not as frightening. Because we're connecting with what's here more deeply, we're being more present with it, and yet we're also less attached to it because we're stepping into that gratitude and really saying, yes, I have this. Well, that's another piece of this path. It's not about ownership in a sense of I've got this, I'm never going to let it go. It's about ownership in a sense of I have this experience fully and it's mine forever. My experiences can never be taken away from me. Things can be taken away from me. Relationships can end. But my experience that I had of having those things, my experience that I had of being in that relationship, will never end. Even if it goes into the subconscious, even if it goes into the peripheral, I wonder sometimes, about what is it that triggers particular memories? Why does this memory come up in that moment? And sometimes I can make the connection consciously, and sometimes I can't. But it's about the resonance. There's something in this moment, I think, that resonates with that experience. And it's like that tuning fork waking up the piano wire. The piano wire of that memory comes to the surface again because something in this moment resonates with it. So we're not going to lose anything. And the more we can be in that gratitude for what we have in the moment that we have it, the more free we are to step forward on this path of empowerment, on this path that by definition is change, and really make the choices and move in the directions we would desire to go. So, I pray that this makes it perhaps a little bit easier for each of us to do that. Now, I'm going to take a little pause here, not in a literal sense of hanging up the headset and the microphone, but now that we've walked through that initial portion of this, I'd like to speak a little bit about the Gateway Activations, this series that I've been doing for almost 2 years now. Just finished one last week on Wednesday, the Gateway of Divine Presence. And if you haven't done it, I would encourage you to. As with the one prior to that, the death and rebirth one, this was an experience that was at another level. They're amped up. And this was one of the most experiential of them. You know, they talk a lot. Maybe you don't know if you've not done one. They talk a lot of metaphysics. There's a lot of teaching in them. But there are also experiential aspects where we're taken very directly into the energy. And this one was one of the most highest portion of that. It was profound, both experientially and in terms of what was offered. So I will say that. But I also want to bring up the next one because it's the last one in this series. It's going to be on the solstice on December 21st. As always, it will be 7:30 Eastern time, but it can be done through the recording as well. And it's going to be the gateway of home, the energy of home. So whatever that might mean to them, I'm not sure how they're going to do it, what they're going to do with it, but it's going to be powerful. It is the last one in the series. The series will go on hiatus. They're going to open more gateways sometime starting next year, depending on how the integration of these changes goes across the planet. But I would invite you to consider that. This is not something I do with any regularity at all. I've only done it for that last gateway, but I'm going to do it now and encourage you to breathe in and see if that resonates for you. And if it does, contact me and I can get that arranged for you. So anyway, let's go do some channeling now. And as always, just allow your breathing to deepen while I do the toning that allows the alignment and brings them in. So here we go. Dear ones, this is Mother Mary come to be with you again. And today we would speak a little. And we don't mean we will talk quietly. But we will speak even shorter than usual. Because what we would like to do is much more experiential for you and with you. And it's this. What we would like to do is to awaken a larger experience of the Divine Mother energy in each of the cells of your body. And so Just allow yourself to notice your way through your body while we do some sounding and expand this energy in your cells. Oh. Enjoy, dear ones, and know now and always that you are much loved and always, always with us. Namaste. Whew. Thank you, Mother Mary. And I extend that thank you out to all of you, my co-creators, my fellow cohorts, moving on this path into our empowerment. Thank you for your energy. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your presence. And I could not do this without you. So please let me know what you think, what you desire, what you'd like more of or less of or none of. Send me an email, give me a phone call, whatever works for you. And ask me your questions. So, I wish you a wonderful week. I will be back same time, same place next week here. I hope that you'll be here to join me. You never know where the show will go. You never know where the path will go. So we must take it one step at a time. One shift in peripheral vision at a time. Much love, my friends. Namaste.